Welcome back to Bread and Butter, everybody. We're serving the basics for Hearthstone Improvement in episode 63. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host Tito. Tito, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing pretty okay. And we have two very special guests today. First of which is a returning guest, Electric Sheep City. Sheep, how are you doing?
Meowdy friend, I'm doing fantastic. Glad to hear you are as well.
Amazing, thank you. And a new guest, Hydralisk. Hydralisk, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely amazing. It's nice to be on with you guys. Thank you so much. And nice to see my good buddy Sheep over here with me too.
You guys actually haven't seen each other for a couple weeks, right? Because I believe last night it was you and Schmoopy, and the week before it was Sheep and Schmoopy. So it's been a few weeks for you guys.
And then actually the 2 weeks before that, it was Schmoopy and I did it twice in a row or whatever. So Sheep and I have been dodging each other for like 5 weeks at this point.
We have. We did record a lore episode, which hasn't gone out yet, but we did get to connect then, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, so that yeah. Look forward to that one.
So, Hydra, since you're the new one here, I'll start with you. What have you been doing inside the world of Hearthstone?
All right, so as you know, since I am, you know, sort of on a wild podcast, it's kind of what I do, right? Is I play wild. So that and Twist has sort of been where I'm at recently in the wonderful world of Hearthstone. I've been dipping my toes into BGs a little bit, you know, if I'm, you know, watching TV or whatever, want to get some XP on that rewards track, just looking for some more. Keep getting that 50 gold every time we hit the next level once you hit like 100. But in general, yeah, we just been jamming the Twist in the wild.
Very nice. Sheep, how about yourself?
Yeah, like usual, I've been playing a little bit of everything. I finished the BG's Battle Pass, which was exciting. Playing a grab bag of decks in Standard and Wild. Experimenting a bit with the Season of Twist. I was pushing almost to like, I was in the 2000s, pushing into the 1000s in Standard, and then Califero the Artist came out. And I tell you, I tried to make a Rogue Ragnaros Califero the Artist deck in Standard, and I am now collecting all of the legend points. I'm now over 20,000 instead of almost 1,000, but I had a blast getting down there.
Wow.
It's the journey, not the destination, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's fun to play against like the, you know, really sweaty stuff, but it's also really fun to try and make some like spicy stuff work too. And, you know, sweaty and spicy. I'll go with the spice. I'll go with the spice.
Yeah.
How about you, Doc? What have you been doing in the Hearthstone?
Yeah. So I've been playing, I've started to play more Standard. Which still isn't a lot compared to how much like I used to play Standard. But I've been playing some Sludge Warlock and Aggro Paladin. And for as good as I know that those decks are, they've not been doing it for me. I've had such a rough time piloting those decks, which could be a mixture of just me not playing Standard since like December, really. So I'm like way out of Standard. But I've been also been playing some BGs. BGs has been super fun. I was on a pretty good run, and then I've lost the last four BGs I've played out like on like either fifth or like seventh, and so that's been really frustrating because I don't know what I'm doing wrong, because I know it's a me problem, right? I just feel like the builds that I'm going aren't scaling fast enough to keep up with how fast everyone else is scaling with, and I just probably just have to watch more BG content to understand like the good early like synergy cards to be able to help scale super quickly.
Maybe you,
but you know, you like, and I'm still having fun.
Should play some BGs together because we could learn together.
Heck yeah, I'd be down. I'd be down. BGs with friends is always a great time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like Hearthstone's just in a good spot. I've been waiting to play a bunch of Hearthstone after the new expansion comes out, but that's still like half a month away, and I really don't want to wait that long. Because I got burnout pretty dang good around like the end of November, early December. And then plus with like the holidays and everything, it just got like so busy. I didn't like super duper care that I wasn't playing a lot of Hearthstone, but then it just kind of like stuck. Right. And so I've been like getting back into like playing Hearthstone because It's such a good time for video games, y'all. Like, I know I'm jumping a little ahead here, but like, yeah, one of my favorite games right now is Helldivers 2. As much as that game is a meme because it is just Starship Troopers the game, it is still such a fun game to play because it feels like Starship Troopers, it feels like Terminator, it feels like Halo 3 ODST, which is one of my favorite Halo games of all time. I really, really wish they would have come back and done a sequel ODST game. But it's just fun playing games with friends.
The ODST sequel?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it has, my favorite thing is it has like a live map that everyone who plays the game makes progress towards certain goals and everything. Mm. And so there's like a global quest, which I think ends tonight or tomorrow. But right now the global quest is to win like 8 defense missions in a specific sector of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And if so, enough people do it and you finish like you finish this time period with more blue progress, which is positive progress, then more red progress, which is progress made by the AI, then you win. And then everyone gets like a big reward, like in-game currency reward for doing so. And so it's fun to see like how, and it'll tell you like there's 23,000 players playing on this one planet, or there's like 182,000 playing on this other planet. And so the community is really funny because like obviously people are going to play the game how they want to play. So half the galaxy half the system we're able to play in right now is like the Terminators, and the other half are like the Zerglings, right? Or Terminids, sorry, is what they call them. And way more people are fighting the bugs than they are fighting the Terminators. And everyone wants to help fight in the Terminators because it's awful. And that's where the like main progress mission is right now. So that's like where the general orders are for like the global quest. But like the bugs are so much easier on every difficulty than the robots are because they're so unforgiving. Like it's literally you get overrun so fast and it's just endless waves of Terminators after Terminators. And then you're like fighting giant space marines from Warhammer 40K at 1.2. Like it is wild and I love it.
So people at my work have been talking about this like in the office and they're like, hey, Hydralis. They didn't say that, but they're like, you need to play this game. You have a 15-year-old kid and you could get him to play it with you. They're like, it's a little violent, but I mean, your kid's probably old enough. I don't know. I haven't played the game yet. So would you recommend this game for a 15-year-old? Yay or nay? Is it pretty bad or...
No, like, I mean, it is very violent because you're shooting big bugs and like there's like blood splatter and like you can shoot limbs off and everything like that. And like if you walk over a mine, your character will literally explode and everything. But like there's not I'm not a parent, right? So like I can't give like actual like parental advice because I don't feel like that's fair. But as far as someone who plays video games and like has played video games for a long time, like I don't think that this game would be bad. Granted, I don't know how violent of stuff you want your child to play, but if you're okay with that, then yeah, absolutely. I think this game would be a great one to play, especially if it's something like the two of you can do together.
His current, violence level is he plays Valorant.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's essentially Valorant. Just like you can shoot legs off of bugs and there's robots that will like that you can shoot the arms off of and everything.
Right on. All right.
So the only sentient thing that you can actually like kill to make progression are like bugs and robots. And then assumedly there's like this third faction that's going to come in called the Illuminate. There we go. Because they were in Helldivers 1. I hadn't played Helldivers 1. It was like a PSP exclusive or something like that.
Interesting. But,
it's cool. definitely a game that like I would enjoy to play it with my father if my father was like wanting to play video games like that, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Cool. Well,
it's worth to check out.
I'm definitely gonna look into it.
It is
for sure.
A little steep.
Yeah.
It's $40. But as far as like big video game prices, $40 is lower than like the average game price. Wait, but you are having to spend that twice.
Hold on, you live where?
I live in Utah.
Utah, okay. Sorry, no, I was trying to figure out if that was USD or CAD.
That'll be about $200 your your cost, Hydra?
I was told there was a Steam sale, so we'll see.
Maybe 150.
If you give me the money of $100, I'll make sure you get it, and we'll knock 150 off that price.
Sold. I think. You tricked me?
Maybe.
So, Tito, I went a little long there on a tangent with my Hearthstone stuff, which led into video game stuff. But what have you been doing inside of the world of Hearthstone?
Well, that's a fantastic question. I, for a couple days, have been losing. So, as you guys know, I started off this month. I had a goal of getting 5 legends for some stupid reason. I've gotten 4 of them. And
I've been down that road, man.
So I've gotten Europe, Asia, Americas, and Wild. I actually have some stars in Twist somehow. I don't know how. So I've been, you know, working with Sheep. He gives me a list. I say, give me a list. He gives it to me. I say, here's a list. Why isn't it working? He says, well, because you're stupid. And we go from there.
Because the list is bad.
Yeah. So I haven't finished off Twist yet. I don't even think I'm in Diamond, but we'll talk about that in a little while. And then I started, the meta changed, and on the because we had the patch, and we had, you know, they brought in all those buffs, and I tried big DH for a little while, and that didn't go well, and then I tried big Shaman for a little while, that didn't go well. Had potential, but it really sucks when almost every game you play, you're from the other sides or at the bottom of your deck, because that's the thing that makes that deck go around. So then I decided to try the good decks. So I spent some time playing some Rainbow Mage. I went 0-3. And then I went and played the new Casino Mage. I'm sorry, Rainbow DK. I went 0-3. Even though I played that deck, I had a little bad variance. But I'm like, not feeling this right now. Went to the Rainbow Mage that has the new cards, the new buff cards in it. It's got the Shaper, the Chaos Shaper, whatever it is, that gives all the spells. It increases their value by 3, but also keeps the same mana cost. And I went 0-9. And I started to see the very bottom of the ladder. I could see I was probably pretty close for them demoting me back to Diamond. So then I said, well, I did what any sane person would do. I started playing Paladin. I'm not a Pally main, but it seems like the thing that you do. So I rattled off like something like 16-4, I think, and I started to stabilize. And then Pilot comes into the stream and he says, I got a list for you. And I says, okay, we'll give it a try. And it was some kind of warrior. And we ended up going, I believe, 9-1. And I'm like 12-3 so far with it. So
wow.
I managed to, nice. Despite plummeting, we managed to gain about 8K MMR back or so. And we are trying to figure out how we're going to do next month, because the entire reason I brought the IC chat, they say that I am a Pally main, but that's fine. I'm deciding the whole reason I brought those decks, the other servers, up to the level was that way I could play weird decks like from the other side, Shaman or whatever, and not hurt my rank on whatever server I decide to play on. But I don't have full card sets there, so I'm kind of waiting until the set rotates and I can then dust all the wild cards I had from that set and then start in earnest to say I want to build this deck. I'm going to build that deck. So we're waiting. I'm probably just going to focus on America this time and really try to increase that MMR, but I'll probably try to get all those to legend, but not with as much gusto or vigor. And if I end up in diamonds on those, that's great. As long as I kind of maintain the MMR ish, I'm happy. But anyway, I'm excited for expansion. I'm excited for rotation. I'm excited for a new month. But Doc, what have you been doing outside of the game of Hearthstone?
Yeah, so like I had mentioned earlier, I've been playing a lot of Helldivers 2. I think it's a great game. Kudos to the team that built it, because they did it on like an engine that hasn't been supported in 6 years. So it was with a lot of love. I've also been playing a lot of TFT because TFT is just fun. It's getting to play with League of Legends characters without having to worry about the League of Legends stuff. And then I've been playing a lot of Commander. I've been playing a lot of Commander with Matt at Arms, Gator, and Beanut from Squelch Discord. And that's always fun. They're such a fun pod of people to play Commander with. Mm-hmm. No one ever brings a deck that's like way too strong. And so it's always pretty dang equal. And we all have like our spike games and whatnot. It's a bunch of fun. I had a card order come in that helped the two decks that I was building get a lot better. I have a Baku deck, essentially. So if I have an odd cost card and I attack my commander, I reveal the top card of my library. If it's odd, I get to play it for free. Who doesn't like playing things for free? And so that deck's actually a deck now. And that's been a bunch of fun. I've won with Approach of the Second Sun, which is a 7-mana spell that if you cast it for the first time, you gain 7 health and the card goes 7th from the top. And then if you cast it the second time, you win the game. But you have to cast it from your hand in order to win the game with it. So I don't cast it for free, but I also run 6 counter spells in this deck to make sure that I can get to that point. One of them being the Dennis Nedry permission denied counter spell from Lost Caverns of Ixalan, which is a white and a blue and counter target non-creature spell. Opponents cannot cast non-creature spells until end of turn.
I didn't realize you were one of those people.
I am with that deck. My other deck is much more fair. It's a mono red group slug.
Get him.
this is a get him deck for sure. Which mainly results in the three of them ganging up on me because they don't want to lose really fast with this. But what that commander does is whenever a non-combat damage would be dealt, which is usually like 1 to 3, because that's how most effects are. His attack is 4. So whenever a non-combat damage is dealt that is less than his attack, he makes it equal to his attack. So if I enchant him to have higher attack, then that value goes up. And I have a lot of spells, and I have a lot of cards that say tap to deal 1 damage to each opponent, cast an instant or sorcery spell to untap these. And so you kind of just get this big windmill of, well, now I'm just going to deal 20 damage to everybody in a single turn and good luck.
Wow.
It's so fun. I talk it up like it gets to happen every time. They don't let it happen every time, which is very fair and understandable.
But when it does happen,
it's just, oh, it feels so good. It feels so, so good. And then in kind of saddish news, my cat went to the vet today. He has to get at least 4 teeth removed, possibly more. He has to get three of his canines out and a molar. And then if they need to take more out, then they'll do that. But I mean, he's okay. He just has some like cavities and stuff that they need to get removed so it doesn't mess up the rest of his teeth.
Stop feeding him Pop Rocks. No more candy.
I don't even eat Pop Rocks that often anymore. Why would I feed my cat Pop Rocks? That seems cruel. So I've been reading some more Cortland. She wanted me to start reading the first Crescent City book. I'm about 100 pages in, which is like where the first twist of the story happens. And it's wonderful. And I hate it all at the same time. Cause if you've read that book, you understand about what happens at that part of the story. And then I'm also reading the 9th book of the Drist Saga, which is Passage Unto Dawn, something like that. Which that one's like a seafaring book as far as like what Drist does in his adventures. And it's so good. It's so good. But it's such a big book for how, like, because it doesn't look big, but the margins are very small and the font is very small.
Yeah.
So it's like a 400 page book. But if it were to be like a book that was printed like today, it'd probably be like an 800, 900 page book.
I know what you mean. Totally.
Yeah. But Ari Salvatore, fantastic author. Love his books. I got books 10, 11, 12 to read afterwards. So I'm very excited about that. But that's been it in Doc outside of Hearthstone. So Hydralisk, what have you been doing outside of Hearthstone?
Well, I guess I'm going to go off on the book thing, obviously, because that's where we're at. So in 2022, I read 22 books. And then in 2023, I somehow read 33 books. I don't know how that happened, but I upped it way too much.
Dang.
And so I need to at least, I'm not doing 44 books for 2024. That's insane. But I need, I need to beat my 33, and I'm at like five or six, four. I'm at four sheep.
44. You can do it. I believe in you.
Well, yeah, we'll see. But so far this year, everybody, if you already do know who I am, and if you don't, I do like Stephen King. So that is one thing that I'm trying to do, is get through every single Stephen King book eventually. But I'll read one and then I read something else, right? So I sort of like weave them in and out. But so far this year, I read The Tommyknockers by Stephen King, and that was like a 700 or 800 page book. And then I dialed it back and I read The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, because I never read that in school when I was supposed to. And that's more of like a 200 page book kind of thing, right? And I also read The Alchemist, because apparently that was good, and it was. So I had a good time with that. And then I read a motivational book that my boss basically told me to read, called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And it's sort of like, it's for anybody who is either trying to be successful or already is successful. It's trying to say like, okay, you've gotten here not because of what you're good at, but despite what you're not good at, is like the whole premise of the book. So it's sort of it focusing on the little things you do that you could do better, like the bad things that you do, right? Like little intricacies about your attitude, maybe how you communicate with people. Like it really makes you zero in on these, what you may think is a small thing that you do could be super irritating to somebody else, right? Something that could be holding you back, sort of thing. So anyways, it's a really good book, in all honesty. And so got through that one. It was pretty cool. I didn't want to read it, but it actually was really good. And then I read Cycle of the Werewolf by Stephen King, which was also super cool. It's more of like a graphic novel, in all honesty. It's like, it'll go like three pages and then super cool art, and then three more pages and then more really cool art. So it's not like a comic book per se, that style, but there's a lot of art in it, which is really neat. And it was written back in 1982-83, so that was really cool. And then now I'm on to The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. I have owned this book since I was like 18, and I'm finally reading it. I've for some reason went through this thing where I bought like all of the Ernest Hemingway books I could find at one point and then never read them. And they're just sitting in my closet in a box. So I'm gonna start reading those. And my silly reason for liking Ernest Hemingway, I don't know if y'all know who Hunter S. Thompson is, but he would always reference Ernest Hemingway all the time. And I used to be a huge fan of him. And, I wanted to know where he got his inspiration, and that was a lot of it was from someone like Hemingway, right? So that's where I'm at with like the books and like the outside of Hearthstone and also in general. I'm quite busy at work, like a lot, unfortunately or fortunately. I mean, it's good to be employed and have a great job. However, it does take a lot of my time. I find myself thinking about it more than I should. So I'd like to distract myself with things like Hearthstone and these books. And it's pretty cool. So that's where I'm at outside of Hearthstone.
I do have some bad news for you, though. If you are reading every other book of Stephen King, you're never going to catch up, because when you're reading that other book, he's going to put out two more. So...
so I will tell you that I've gone from Carrie, which is his first book, all the way up to I am now doing Eyes of the Dragon, which is 1987. So I've read about 15 years worth of books. So I'm almost into the 90s. So
you were almost to when I would have been born. Almost.
I will get there. I will.
And 5 years later, you'll be to where Doc was born. And then.
Well, there's already a new one coming out in May. So he's decided to put out two this year. So cool.
Yeah, I swear I heard in an interview he tries to write at least 10 solid pages of whatever book he's writing a day. Because then he's like, yeah, if I do that, then in like 3 months, that's like almost a book or whatever, depending on how long he wants the book to be. Like, which is crazy to think he's like, yeah, I'm just going to make 10 really solid pages and I can just do that on a daily basis more often than not. And that just blows my mind as like someone who's tried to write any kind of a thing for whatever. It's like getting a solid page sometimes is like pulling teeth. So to get just be like, yeah, just. I can do 10 solid pages, no problem.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
I just like to remind everybody that we are sponsored by Barnes & Noble, so please make sure you go there and visit and buy books on this bread and butter library podcast. What have you been up to, Sheep?
Yeah, so I've also been reading the Expanse series. So I am on to book four. They're like these little like interlude book things, too. Noveletas type stuff, but I bought like the big book of that, so I only read, you know, whichever one is in between the ones that I'm reading, but I'm almost done with book three. So working my way through that. I got a new vinyl album, the 20th anniversary of Absolution, the Muse album. And that is just as good now as it was then. It's incredible. And then of course, school. I'm in a master's program and I'm about halfway through the master's program. So I've done 18 hours. I've got 18 hours done. I've got 18 more hours to go. And I'm working on three right now. So once I get through halfway through this class, and I'll be like at exactly the halfway point.
Heck yeah.
So cool. That's generally awesome. Like all of the things. Thank y'all. So that's what's been going down in this here city of electric sheep. But I think, Hydra, people around these parts don't know you as well as we'd like to. So I think that our good friends Tito and Doc may have prepared some interview questions for you.
I mean, that's OK. We don't have to talk about what I've been doing outside of Hearthstone. That's fine.
You know what? I thought that I already knew what you were doing outside of Hearthstone, Tito, but I... just already knew myself, but people listening haven't heard it yet. So Tina, what have you been doing? Tell me.
Nothing. No, so my...
easy. Easy, let's go.
So as I mentioned last week, my wife and kid are in Disney World. So that's why we had an extended edition of what Doc has been playing in and out of Hearthstone today, because I was on a FaceTime with my kid saying goodnight. Since I don't get to see him, but since I do have a little bit of extra free time, not going to Taekwondo and not, you know, shuttling kid back and forth to school and all that, I've been able to stream more. So I'm taking this week to do a little extra streaming, having some fun, you know, just playing Hearthstone and enjoying it. I haven't been reading all that much, but I've been working on, it is what it is. I got the visual goof from
Barnes
Sheep
and Noble pulls out.
Oh, yeah. So we won't have any Barnes & Noble Jr. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
Well,
wow.
I don't know if I'll keep that in or not. Well, depends how I feel. anyway, I think Sheep was on the right track moving us along. So, Doc, why don't we get to know Hydra a little bit better?
Yeah, I think that's a... excellent thing to do. So Hydra, what got you started in video games, and then what got you started on Hearthstone specifically?
Well, if we want to go back, I guess, to the very beginning, I won't spend too much time on the question, but the very beginning is one of my first memories of playing video games was, this is going to be a very Canadian answer, by the way, I warn you. My dad used to go to this local curling rink in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And
yes.
When he would go and do the curling thing with these guys that eventually actually did become the Canadian curling Olympic curling team, which is kind of funny. Like, there's this guy named Jeff Stoughton and this other guy named Gary, who was like my dad's drinking buddies down at the curling rink. Like, they would just go like pound like 8 beers and curl, and it was supposed to be like just passing time. They actually became the Olympic champions. Not my dad. No, he, not him. My dad was a baker, but they became the curling champions. But what would happen was, while they were doing that, in the entrance of the curling club, I wasn't allowed in because it was 18 plus. I know it's 21 for you guys, right? But yeah, up here in Canada, 18 years old is okay. But I was not 18. I had to sit in the foyer, and what they had was a Galaga machine. And so my dad would give me just like a bunch of change, and I would sit and I would play Galaga. And so that was like the thing that I did. We're talking like before kindergarten, like that sort of thing. And that was just like what I did, is I'm like 4 or 5 years old, just playing this Galaga machine. Right. And it was really cool. Post that, I was introduced. One of my dad's employees had this cabin, and we went out to the cabin, and they had an NES. And the NES had two things. It had Duck Hunt and Mario. So I played Duck Hunt, and I played Mario. And so it was like Galaga, Duck Hunt, and Mario. Those were the things that I knew, and they were my favorite things that I played a lot of. So eventually we got our... They passed that down to us. They ended up giving us that Nintendo a few years later. So I played the crap out of the original Mario. I got the princess many, many times. I found which castle she was in, and played a lot of Duck Hunt. And yeah, it was really, really good. And then later on, the game Warcraft 2 came out, and we're talking like 1994, 5, something like that.
Crashing?
And one of my friends showed me Warcraft 2 around 95. I'm going to guess, if I had to think about it. And it was super cool.
Nailed
I really it. Loved it. I loved the art. It was awesome. And then a couple of years later, Diablo 1 and then Starcraft 1 came out, and our family didn't have a computer. So I'd go to their house and we would play those games there at my friend's house. And they had, I don't know how much money his parents made, but they had like a whole LAN setup where they had 4 computers and a LAN setup. We're in like the mid 90s, and we would play Warcraft 2, and it was super cool. So Starcraft, Warcraft, Diablo. I just basically at that point became like a Blizzard guy. So if we're going to just fast forward to the future, basically what ended up happening for like video games was, you know, Hearthstone was something that was available on a phone. And I was living in a very rural area as an adult, and I could not get high-speed internet where I lived. I called our local company, which here's Shaw Cable, and owned by Rogers. And I called them, and they said, it will never come to your neighborhood unless you guys can pay for it to come to your neighborhood. It was something like $15,000 to get your neighbors to all like pool in and try to get the lines into your neighborhood, because we live so far out. And the only thing I could do is play something mobile. So I was playing around on my phone, on my like iPhone 4 or whatever it was. And there was a Blizzard game called Hearthstone in like 2015. I'm like, well, that's cool. It's Blizzard, sold. I don't even care if it's bad. I'm just playing it. So that's basically how I started playing Hearthstone. I recognized a lot of the characters from playing Warcraft. I did not play as much Warcraft 1, but I played 2, 3. I played WoW in the very beginning, so it was very familiar territory. I'd never played a card game before, though.
I just want to go back to the very beginning of that story, because nowadays, if I was to leave my kid in the foyer while I went and did my kindergarten kid, and I went to curling and had a few beers, I'd be divorced and charged with child endangerment. That's crazy.
Times were different in 1989. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, hey, that's when I was born.
Like, I don't know what to, like, it was either early 90s, late 80s era, and my dad would just, yeah, like, you go, they would bring me Shirley Temples. I remember getting Shirley Temples. So, like, I was cool with that. Shirley Temples are awesome.
They are.
Yeah. Don't yeah. Nobody call the police on my father.
No.
I'm sure Canada has their version of the statute of limitations. So
yeah,
I think he's safe.
No, I used to live. I used to live, and I would go leave my house. I'd, you know, go two towns over at like 12 and 13. You can't do that anymore. Like, a lot of times, it's a whole different world. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there was a weird gift shop crazy. In the front too that I used, like, no one was around. I was just like playing around in the gift shop, like looking at all the stuff, I remember. Just like waiting for my dad to come out.
Now, when you're in Canada, do you play Sorry a lot?
It was basically, it was his version of a daycare, and that was a funny joke. I've played Sorry a couple times, not that much. I know the game, though. I remember the commercials.
So in Doc's headcanon, Sorry and Trouble are the same game. I don't know why, but in my head, they exist in the same space. So whenever anyone tries to, like, tell me about either of them, it takes me a very long time to figure out which version of the game I'm actually trying to think of.
It's fun getting into Sorry.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I just mixed them up even more for you.
It's fine. So what about Wild specifically drew you in?
Okay, so for this, I started playing Hearthstone before Wild existed, and then I played for about a year or so, and I stopped playing. I don't remember really why, but then I came back and I was playing again, and I didn't really think twice about a lot of things, but it was a couple of years in where League of Explorers was going to rotate out, right? And one of my favorite cards was Bran Bronzebeard, and I couldn't imagine Bran ever not being in my game. So I was like, I'm not playing a mode that doesn't have Bran, right? So that was my original reason for, quote unquote, leaving Standard, right? So it was, I believe, the second rotation of Wild was when Bran went in. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the second rotation. And that's when I went. And when I went, since I had told you I had a gap, and the first time I seen, like, Shielded Minibot again, I was like, oh, I forgot about all these cards. Like, there was these cards that I hadn't seen in, like, a long time. And I didn't even think twice about, like, why I hadn't seen them, right? I was not in tune. I didn't listen to Hearthstone podcasts. I had no idea. Like, we're talking 2000 and... when did Wild even start? 16? 15, 16? I don't even remember. But anyway, when it happened, like I said, I started seeing all these cards that I had never seen before. I mean, hadn't seen in a long time. And I was like, well, I'm living here. Like, I don't want to go back to Standard, because all that old stuff that I had and I forgot that I could actually play is here. And I wasn't part of the news. I didn't know. I wasn't on any websites. I didn't know what Hearthpwn was yet, like all that sort of stuff. So I had no idea. So as soon as I took my Bran Bronzebeard over to Wild, I was cool, and I was just going to stay there.
Nice. Sorry, I was doing some research, looking up when Wild came out. So it was April 2016, which was Hearthstone 5.0, which is crazy to think how long ago that is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. And yeah, like I'm saying, when my Bran went away, that was it.
Yeah. So how did you meet Sheep, and then how did you get involved with Born to Be Wild?
I'm gonna answer this in reverse, right? Because it happened in reverse, I guess, right? So I got involved with Born to Be Wild as a listener of the original version of the podcast, which was Into the Wild, right? So Nate Wolf and Craig of Canada had the podcast Into the Wild. They passed it over to Danny Donuts and Saucy Mailman at a certain point. And I had listened to all of that. And then they started Born to Be Wild again. And I was super excited. Or sorry, they started Born to Be Wild. It was Into the Wild. And so when they started up again, I was super excited and started listening. And there was an episode where James Corbett was on, but he had to bounce. And so I guess I'm the B version of James Corbett, because they're like, oh, can you come on? James had to leave, right? So yeah, sure, whatever. I popped on. I guess it's just because I was a fan of the show, talking in Discord, whatever. And so they had me pop on, and we used to do a part of the episode that was the live gameplay after the episode, right? And so I got brought on for that portion, and it was really neat. And we played some Uther. What's the paladin, the OTK paladin that we used to play?
Yeah, the four horsemen. Apocalypse.
Yeah, four horsemen.
Yeah, so yeah. We did that. That was what we did. And when I tried to go back and watch that episode, and it was so cringy for me, I couldn't watch it. I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch myself. It was like first appearance. Yeah, like couldn't do it. And then Craig only stuck around for a few episodes of the new version of the show, Born to Be Wild, from January to about April. And he decided he was going to leave. And Nate had asked if I could come on and guest for a few shows. So I did that. And afterwards, he just said, hey, do you want to stay? Like, that really worked out well. That was good. So I said, well, I will ask my wife, but hell yeah. Right. And yeah, so that was the beginning of that. That's been 4 years at this point for me. And like two more months, it's been 4 years since the first time I appeared on Born to Be Wild, which is super cool. And then for Sheep, one of my first interactions, and I'm sure that there may have been some crossover in some other Twitch chat or Discords before, but he made this mech paladin that was featured on the show back when it was Nate, Mike Lowe, and myself. And there was this mech paladin that was pretty cool that Sheep was rocking, and it made it onto the show. And we featured that, and Sheep was coming into the chat and doing all these things. And Sheep is quite active in a lot of like Coin Concede Discord and all that sort of thing. And then we ended up having him on for a review episode of, like, we had these card reviews that went like 8 to 10 hours. They were insane. It was ridiculous. But we had, for some reason, this is a silly story, but Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, Sheep, but Mike asked you to come on without asking Nate and I. So then we had like a fourth person, and we're like, dude, yeah, these already take like 8 hours, and you invited a fourth person on. You didn't ask us. Well, guess what? It worked out. So Sheep.
It was like 13 hours. Like, it was super long, but it was so much fun.
It was insane. So I remember Nate and I in the beginning were like, dude, like, we can't have another, like, we already, because we used to do it with Danny Donuts. Was it a five? You know, it was a five person episode. I think Danny was there too, possibly. I don't know. It was five people reviewing every single card in a set. And so everybody got to say an opinion about every single card. And it ran into, like, the sun had set and it had risen. It was real.
Oh no!
Ridiculous. We split the episode into four parts. It was crazy. And but then Sheep was there, right? And then we started doing listener series stuff, and he was really good at it. And eventually, when Mike was leaving, it was a shoe-in for Sheep. In all honesty, like, it just worked out great because, like, he already just fit the bill. So that's where Sheep came in.
Much like Coin Concede, you guys are really like a podcast of Theseus. You're still the same podcast, but it's entirely different parts than when it started.
Yeah, in all honesty, like, it's gone from Nate and Craig back in like 2017, which moved into the saucy Danny, then back to Nate and Craig, to me coming on, then Mike, Sheep, Schmoopy, and then Nate rotated out. How bad is that?
rotated from wild into
snap.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a good way to describe it. In all honesty, so it's really cool. It's been a neat thing, and we're still friends with a lot of the guys. So it's been cool.
And I just heard something about Saucy the other day. Apparently, he's doing his own line of coffee. And
yeah,
coffee mailman.
Yeah. Maybe. Although whoever Danny Donuts is, he sounds like he's in the New Jersey mob. Hey, have you talked to Danny Donuts?
Danny Donuts, yeah.
So I just want to jump. I know I added a question here. We're getting nostalgic about how things have all started and how things are now. You're coming up on 200 episodes. That's mm-hmm. in the window. I mean, I think you're on 195 or 196 now. You got anything big planned?
I'm not going to 100% spoil it, but yes. Yes, we do. I won't give details.
Heck yeah.
Completely. You know, stuff happens, things change. But right now, yeah, we got something. We got a big bun in the oven. Yeah.
Fantastic. It'll be good.
Nice. So other than Wild, I know you said you played a little bit of BGs, but do you try to play like Arena or Duels, or do you play Standard anymore?
I touch Standard when I need to do an like a daily quest. In all honesty, that's basically, I hold like an 8 or a 9x in the mode, which I guess isn't horrible. But it's, in all honesty, it's if there is, play three priest decks and there isn't a solid priest deck in Wild that I want to play, then I'll hop over to Standard and I'll play it, right? I used to really like Arena a long time ago for collection building reasons, but at this point in time, if I was going to fall back onto anything, as Duels is, you know, sadly not really going to be a thing, it's Twist. Like, Twist is cool. Twist is a really cool mode. It has a lot of potential, and we got some exciting things coming up. We'll talk about it later. Twist is where it's at. That's the other mode for sure.
Yeah. So, okay, this one's a two-parter. Part one, what's your favorite class? Part two, what is your favorite deck of all time?
All right. So, favorite class is definitely Rogue. I didn't start off with Rogue, but I moved into Rogue at one point as being super intimidated by Rogue for a very long time. I lost many, many a game to people playing Miracle Rogue. And so it made me be afraid of the class and not want to play the class. Now, I've never been super good at Miracle Rogue. I've made my fair share of Giant Edwins, I'll tell you that. But for me, my favorite Rogue is post... is it Leeching Poison? King's Bane Rogue. So when it was no longer the Lifesteal King's Bane original iteration, I hated that deck. I like the aggro King's Bane version, and I don't like the current King's Bane version with Blade Flurry and all that stuff. That's not my King's Bane jam. I know it's a good deck. It's just not the way I prefer to play it. But when it was an aggro deck, Kingsbane, that's the way that I like to play, and it's my, yeah, that's my jam for sure. I do miss it.
Heck yeah.
I mean, one could still play it in all honesty and probably do okay with it. Yeah. But it's nowhere where it used to be.
So what is a Hydralisk fact that people might find surprising to learn about you?
All right, so the people that I hang out with in real life would find it surprising that I do a podcast about a children's card game, right? And that I, like, to them, that would be the shocking, I guess, weird thing that I do, is that I play this video game so much, and it's been 9 years, and I've been doing content for 4 years on it. That would be the weird thing for them. I don't know what the weird thing on the inside of my Hearthstone life and stuff would be, but the thing that they would know me for is this guy who's sort of, I don't know the best way to describe this. I've always been the outgoing dude who loves skateboarding, snowboarding. I'm very acrobatic. I can, like, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging by any means, but you asked the question. I'm really good at doing backflips off cliffs on a snowboard. I'm really good at skateboarding. I can jump down big stair sets and grind handrails and stuff like that. I've done a lot of that in my life. Not so much. I take it easy as I'm getting older, but I can still like hop in a half pipe and I can do some jumps and that sort of thing. And that's kind of like what my friends IRL like know me for, that sort of thing. Like if we went on a snowboard trip and we rented a cabin, I was the guy who was like dropping in off the roof, that sort of thing, with like a beer in my hand and like, woo, right? Like I was always, and not as much anymore, but like the outgoing, let's do the super cool flip off the thing kind of guy. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah, that's a good one. So Hearthstone's been busy making new cards, and the new in-game event has finally went live, Wizbang's Workshop. How do y'all feel about Wizbang's Workshop and like the goodies that we're gonna get for completing all of our quests?
I think it's okay. Like, I'm not particularly impressed because I think that we're getting golden versions of cards that we got for free already, and this set, we don't know how long it's actually going to be here, because it's its own set, these gift cards and the hearth, and they've specifically said it's its own set, so that doesn't mean it's going to be here all year. We don't know if it's going to last through the event, if it's going to last through the first, you know, half of this rotation, we don't know. So, I mean, it's so cool, I guess, but I think I'd rather have packs and maybe like a portrait or something like that. But, you know, it's free stuff, so who cares, I guess.
I gotta say, though, I love how everyone just calls them gift cards. And I think, you know, am I gonna get like a gift card to EB Games, a gift card to Barnes & Noble? Like, what is this digital currency going to be for?
All our guests will not be receiving any Barnes & Noble gift cards at the end of this.
Ah, nuts.
How about yourself, Hydra?
I like free things. I mean, I, in general, these events are still relatively new compared to the whole lifespan of Hearthstone. I'll take it, in all honesty. And also, I like the additional quests, daily quests sometimes. Like, if I no longer play on three servers, that was a headache, but having extra things to do on the one server that I main at this point is cool. I like it. It's extra stuff. You get free things. It makes me play Battlegrounds when I don't want to play Battlegrounds, and then I end up finding out that I like Battlegrounds again. I'll take it. I love it. It's cool. It's something else to do in the game. Where the reason I started playing in on other servers, it was I ran out of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
There were pre-achievements and all that. So,
well, and this one culminates in a coin too. Coins typically like are you get for completing an entire set. You know, there's like the paid one on a battle pass, but like this one, we get a coin too, which is pretty kicking rad.
Fair enough. Doc, how about yourself? Any thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's Hearthstone's birthday. Like, I'm glad that we're doing a different special event within like the event structure for Hearthstone's birthday. So that's pretty cool. And then, like you said, Sheep, coins are kind of like the newer like cosmetic everyone wants to chase for, because there's only like one or two ways you can get a coin. It's either completing a collection every expansion or whenever, because they also put the golden version of the coin in the tavern pass track, don't they?
So,
or am I wrong with that?
You get a gold version of a coin for having a completely golden deck.
Okay.
So that's for the whales.
Yeah.
Hence like, why we craft so many stinking golden cards.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever have a golden coin because I dust all of my golden cards unless it's like a legendary I very like, because I don't like the golden cards in Hearthstone.
In all honesty, you are making
an unpopular opinion.
You're making the most economical decision by dusting your golden cards so you can build a full set way easier. We are making the silly decision because we like shiny things. So well, you're smarter than we are.
And Sheep had to go back to school to get his master's to pay for his Hearthstone account that he has now got all golden. So I appreciate the
full circle.
I appreciate the dedication. speaking of full circles, we've already covered some of these cards in previous episodes, but in the full circle, what do we thought about the Wheel of Death?
It looks like pizza. Delicious, yes. Delicious pizza.
So this is a new legendary spell for Warlock. It is 8 mana, which is kind of like typically where their big spells land. And it is destroy your deck in turn 5 turns, destroy the enemy hero. Now, we're not going to go through all the cards, but this one I think is particularly interesting because I think this is one of those cards that is going to be okay. It's not going to be good. And if it ever is good, that's going to be a problem. What do you guys think about it?
I think it's bait right now. Maybe it will be better in the future. Right now, it's bait. It's flashy. It's cool. It's 8 mana. And then you got to wait 5 more turns. Turn 13. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with you, Hydra. I think that it's possible that they build like a whole archetype around it, but like with just that given, it looks like complete bait. And bait is delicious, but you know, it is still bait. That's how they hook you.
It sure is. I agree. It looks like it's a fun card, and if older like esport ecosystems existed, I'm sure Clark Hellscream would, if it was specialist, would make his specialist lineup every single one of them have this card in it, like he did for the one like he qualified for and got a bunch of traction on Hearthstone Twitter. But yeah, it looks like a fun card. It's definitely going to be a big meme. I would love for it to get the RNG spike in a Masters tour. I think that would be just like such a funny storyline to happen. But yeah, who knows? They like to do an random things with Warlock that can either like sound like it's going to be a fun thing that they're going to do and then they just never touch it again. So we'll see.
So we've gotten the neutrals, or at least a good chunk of the neutrals. I don't think we've gotten them all. Maybe I'm wrong. And the theme of the neutrals seems to be all over the place, as you would expect for the 10th year anniversary. They seem to be taking little things that have happened in the previous in the history and kind of not even putting a new twist on them, just putting them on a different card and changing them around. Like you have Sing-Along Buddy, which is a 2-mana 1/4. Your hero power triggers twice. You got Nostalgic Gnome, which is rush after this minion deals exact lethal damage on your turn. Draw a card, which is just honorable kill. Why don't they just put honorable kill on it? They already have the keyword. You drive me crazy. But anyway, a lot of these cards seem like nothing's really caught my eye too much on these. Like some of the origami ones are nice. The origami have sort of a swap stats with another minion and do other things. But are there any cards that have caught your guys' eyes? Hydra, why don't you start us off?
Well, they've decided to make a card after me, apparently. And apparently I'm floppy. There is a card called Floppy Hydra. How rude. This is not a Floppy Hydra over here, okay? I'm just telling you.
Oh, 10 out of 10.
However, this could go for a cutest card, I'm going to say. It's pretty darn cute. So, Floppy Hydra is a neutral 3-mana 2/4 death rattle. Shuffle a copy of this into your deck with permanently doubled attack and health. I think that's pretty solid, if you ask me.
Fair enough. How about yourself, Chief?
No,
we're good. We have 4 people here, so sometimes we're going to talk over each other. Sheep, though, you got any cards you particularly are excited about or interested in?
There are 2 that I'm really excited about so far. just talking about the neutrals. Obviously, there's some flashy stuff outside of that. But of the neutrals, there are two I'm really excited about. One is Gift Wrapped Whelp. That is a 1-mana 2/1 dragon with a battle cry. If you're holding a dragon, give it and this minion +1/+1. So it's hand buff. It's dragon synergy. What's not to love, right? That's more of a standard card that I'm excited for, but a wild card I'm excited for, in particular for my good old aggro druid, is Treasure Distributor. Yeah, it's a 1-mana 1/2 pirate. After you summon a pirate, give it +1 attack. So my aggro druid is, I play in Biggin, I play a pirate package. I only want those pirates to be 1 mana so that I can play them on 1 and pull patches out and him be real big. This means that if I play 1 in Biggin, then that is a 4/3 patches. If I play 2 in Biggins, it is a 6/5 patches. So Treasure Distributor just seems great.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Doc, how about yourself? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, so two, one of which has been mentioned already, but Floppy Hydra is, I love, like, one, this has got to be one of the cutest cards in Hearthstone absolutely ever. And I love, like, death rattle shuffle in mechanics like this. Like, I really loved the Raptor that did a similar thing. I love Death Rattle Hunter. Yeah, it's like Sunspot Raptor or something like that. I wish Carnivorous Cube was back to, like, make strategies like this, like, way more viable, because we don't really have, and haven't for a super long time, like, a lot of, like, big, like, Death Rattle combo stuff to happen in Hearthstone, and that's something that was really big in Kobolds and Catacombs when those oozes were super big. Another card that I really like is Playhouse Giant. Giants are back, which is so awesome. And like, this is a handlock card. Like, it will stay in your hand for a long time. Also, if you're a deck that just draws your entire deck, which warlocks tend to kind of be able to do, it's just another 8/8 you get to throw down and be rude with. And it's just a funky looking robot, and it's just a fun looking card. I've said it like each episode since this set's been announced. I think that they've hit the flavor for this set, like 10 out of 10, no notes, just everything's so good. And then a real quick Nostalgic Gnome, their Nostalgic Gnome's flavor text is low key one of the best things they've done, in my opinion. She remembers Alterac Valley like it was 833 days ago. It was 833 days ago.
I hope that's like dynamic in the collection and it actually changes.
That would be so much fun. So team five, whoever was responsible for coming up with the flavor text for this card, thank you. and how about yourself, Tito?
I was going to bring up Playhouse Giant. I think that's also going to be like a card for Miracle Rogue, because I think they're going to get that cheap pretty quickly sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Any miracle deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Druid will find a way to abuse it, of course. I also like Nostalgic Clown, because this is a 5-mana 6/5 miniaturized battle cry. If you've also played a higher cost card while holding this, deal 4 damage. So you're basically getting 8 damage out of a 5/6/5 minion plus the bodies. They could have just said corrupt. Again, we'll get past that, but it is what it is. I also like Tar Slime because it's really cute. It's got the same thing as the other tar cards, where it gets +2 attack during your opponent's turn. So it's a 0-mana. It's a 1-mana 0/3. I think there's a lot of good flavor here, but we should also mention Cosplay Contestant, because that is a 3-mana 3/4. After your opponent plays a minion, transform to a 3/4 copy of it, which could be very strong, especially with some of the cards you do. And the art is actually just Alkali Lake cosplaying as Valera. So, I thought that was a very nice nod and tip. I think it's just an excellent card all around. But anyway, we'll talk more about the cards over the next couple weeks. And we already are going pretty long today, so I think it's time to dive into our main topic at 1 hour and 5 minutes in. Let's go ahead and talk about Twist. So Twist, now we have a new format coming up. We'll talk that a little bit.
Here's some information.
apparently we have some information. thank you, Siri. So what do we feel about this, the current state of Twist? Sheep, why don't you get started?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm a little bit torn about it. I feel like the gameplay has pretty consistently been pretty good. But the excitement for the mode has kind of been lackluster. And then thus the lack of the player base has been really concerning. So I feel like one of the biggest issues with like the people not playing it is a lack of accessibility. You know, but Doc, like you said, like you typically dust a lot of cards for, you know, like when things go into wild, for example, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I mean, even with this mode being the current one being popper, only commons, if you're having to craft the entire deck, that, I mean, that's still kind of inaccessible, right? So I feel like the state is kind of, I'm kind of torn on the state because the gameplay is fun, but the accessibility, excitement, and player base is kind of lacking, which is kind of an issue.
Hydra?
Yeah, so I guess for me, one of my biggest concerns is when I queue into a game, it says queue time 1 to 12 minutes when I'm queuing a game, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll go make a sandwich and hopefully I'll queue into somebody, right? So there is not, as Sheep was saying, there's not a lot of people playing the game mode, and it probably is an accessibility thing. We can get more into what they're going to be doing coming up, but like right now, I also think that while it's called Twist, the twists that they've had haven't really been a twist. It's been like maybe like a 1 degree turn. Like they just added like a thing, right? So it hasn't been this big change up, this massive twist, and that is what the mode is called. So I feel like something that in the beginning sounded really exciting, we're going to switch this up and that and do this and do this, and it was like, okay, we'll just add this set this time. It wasn't a huge twist. And then they had to repeat some of the same metas over and over again. And so it's, I think that's why it's just stale at this point. And the point of this mode is to not be stale, hence the name.
How about yourself, Doc?
Yeah. So I love the idea of Twist because I think that it can be something super great. But like, I've been fairly vocal that Onguro is like one of my favorite sets of all time. Granted, that being the case, I still dusted everything once it rotated out because Wild's just too much for me to keep up with, especially when I was like way, way ingrained on Hearthstone more than I am now. And I wanted to focus on Standard. And so someone who has done that habitually, so I can focus on Standard and have a lot of dust to be able to play like these decks, like I've made Twist basically inaccessible to myself. So even when Onguro was the twist, I used gold to buy Onguro packs so that I could play Onguro Twist and have some fun. And, you know, like that's not a good idea. Please don't do that. But there is something there with Twist. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's like a limitation thing or if Team 5 is scared to do something big and crazy with Twist. I couldn't tell you. I do wish that they would do like a rental thing. So like when these new twists would like twist formats would have like cards from 9-7 years ago where it's like, okay, well, we'll let everyone have who doesn't have these cards have access to these uncraftable versions of these cards until it rotates out. So then that way we can still get people to play this mode. And that could lead them to wanting the permanent versions of these cards. And then, yeah. So I'm sorry to hear that Twist queue times are as long as they are. That's wild. I had no idea. Or that's Twist. I had no idea that the queue times were so long.
Yeah, obviously, it doesn't always go the whole 12 minutes, but that's the window that they give you, right? And so sometimes it is. Sometimes it's 2 minutes. It's still a thing.
So this is what I think. Twist feels a lot. So Twist is a lot like this. You and your friends at 20, your old 20s, you have a good time, you do whatever, right? You love it. It's great. For the next like 15 years, you all move on. You have your different life. You get married, you have kids. Some people do other things and other things. And you always say, we should get together and go do this thing again that we used to do. And you're like, yes, 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 that sounds awesome. We should do that. And you keep putting it off and putting it off. And then finally, one year, you guys all get there and you get together and you do it. And you get so much, so different that it's not what you're expecting to be. And it just isn't that great of a trip. I think that's kind of what Twist is. Everyone's excited about like, oh, it'd be great if we could have Ungaro back. It'd be great. Oh, people have been asking for Pauper for years. We should have a Pauper mode. But then when you get it, it's just kind of like, eh, maybe we should have just stayed home. You know,
it's so
just,
Twist is Hot Tub Time Machine.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And it, I agree. I don't think they've had anything as spicy as we want it to be. But I think what they were expecting to be able to do was to be able to sell packs in order to, like, they introduced that quote-unquote wild set, which was a Twist set, which I don't think sold all that much. And now it's kind of like, well, if we're not going to make money, like, what are we going to do with it? So they, I don't think they want to put the time into it, or they don't have the manpower to put time into it, or whatever it might be. So I just don't think that we're going to see what we want. And I think that if you had something cool, like, what if, like, we could think of a million things, but like something I would think would be cool is like, maybe once there's more than one minion, when you play a minion, one of the minions on the board explodes or something like that. Like, you could do something wacky, but then, yeah, that might sound fun to me, but then everyone else is going to like it. And then how do you find something that's wacky enough to keep people interested, to also have them want to buy the cards or craft the cards for it for a month? And it's just it's an odd system, and it's a good concept, but I think what they really need to have started with, I think they failed right off the beginning by having us go back to a previous meta from that we just got out of, right? So their first one, we went back to pretty much Stormwind, and a lot of people were happy that Stormwind was gone, the quest lines were gone, and then Twist first season is, let's bring all that back. And it was pretty much the same meta. A little different because I think you had no neutrals or something like that, but I think that kind of turned people off right from the beginning, and now it's hard to pull people in, especially how little people have been playing it. You know, so the current part, we mentioned this, the current Twist format is Pauper, which means it's all commons. And engagement, as we said, is minimal. You're having 12-minute queue timers. I haven't seen that. I've seen like 3-minute queue timers, but I'm not quite at the high level that you are at in Twist. Like, what are your thoughts here? Like, what are your thoughts on the current format? I think you mentioned a little bit cheap, but do you want to elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like Pauper has honestly been kind of just underwhelming in general. I really thought that it would have been a lot more engaging. And I kind of think that if expand, like there are a couple things that would have made it like a little bit better, right? So first, either expanding the pool slightly, like Pauper and like Magic and stuff isn't just like the commons, it's also uncommons, right? For here, that would be like commons and rares. So expanding it a little bit so that there is a little bit more variety in that. But honestly, I think what would have helped it the most is having a different expansion set to play it in. Now, this was Legacy through Descent of Dragons, right? So those expansions had a lot more pack filler, for one. And for two, the power level was a lot lower. So instead of doing all these wacky, fun, exciting things, we're doing a lot more like board-based gameplay, which is fun to a certain extent, but it's super limited too, and kind of not that exciting gameplay that you typically will actually draw people into the mode. So Pauper has kind of fallen a little bit flat. In my opinion, for all the reasons I listed.
Now, do you think that it would have been better if they would have done Pauper? I if they kept it with just commons, but made it the standard meta?
I think that you still probably would have had to have more than just a standard meta, just for the raw like number of cards that you'd get in it. You know, like they went Legacy through Descent of Dragons, which is a pretty long kind of runway there. But if they had done like standard through Descent of Dragons, I think it would have been a lot more exciting, you know, just backwards rather than forwards, because it would have been a lot more exciting stuff happening there.
And
yeah.
So everyone here has played a little while, right? You know how every time we get an expansion, they redo the talent trees and they make them all nice and interesting. And you can go this way, you can go this way, you can go this way. And then somebody crunches a number and says, this is the way you go. And everyone just goes that way and you have the same build. And if you're a fire mage, this is your build. If you're a warrior, this is your build. That's kind of what happened here, though, right? Because it's like you have all these options now. You can make all these kind of interesting, fun decks, possibly. But the good thing was dragons. So you play dragons.
I mean, kind of. Yeah. And people like me are like, oh, dragons is the thing. So I'm going to find the only class with burn, which is actually surprisingly not mage. It's rogue. And I'm going to play that with Street Trickster and dragons. So that's how I got legend.
One thing I will pride sheep on, though, is, as you mentioned, Tito, that if there's a good thing, people find out about, like, they find out about it quick, right? It goes online, mm-hmm. It gets posted, and people will flock to it. Though I will say that one thing my good buddy Electric Sheep City does is sometimes he doesn't care, and he'll just do his own thing and still hit legend with it. And I think that's really rad, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. He's done that in Twist. He's done it in, I don't know if you did that in Classic, but you did good in Classic, but you do that in Wild as well. And so I think that's really cool. I quite often used to do that, and it usually takes me a lot longer to get to where I'm going. So I will do the net deck thing. But, you know, Sheep's one of those people that can be a trendsetter and has done so.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
All right, so Hydra, what do you think they could do to the format of Twist that would actually make engage people? Like, how can they fix this, and how can they bring more people in here?
So I really think that they are going to do something cool, right? And I do think that is going to be happening, though we do have the accessibility issue, right? So they do sell decks or whatever. If they can sell them for gold, sell them for cheap gold, I think that would be really neat. The deck loaners would be a good idea, all that sort of thing. But what I would have liked, I suppose, to see is, in addition to accessibility, is to have made it more versatile and different each time, right? And I had mentioned that before, that it wasn't a lot of a change per, you know, season, right? And I think that if you're going to keep people engaged, it has to be different. And maybe their idea was, if we change it just a little bit, add an expansion, well, then maybe it's cheaper. Maybe that was their thought. I don't know. But I guess I'm also speaking from the side of things where I do have all the cards, right? So for me, accessibility is not an issue. So I have a different sort of view on it. So for me, if they switched it up every single month and they're like, these three expansions or these three expansions, I would be so in, right? But what they're doing coming up is going to be radical, in my opinion. They're going to be, I don't know if you want to fully get into it right away, but we can get into it. Like, I will save it, but I think we could have eased into it a little more. We could talk about it in a bit.
No, we can shift to it now. I mean, we're kind of, like I said, we're kind of already well into this episode. So let's go ahead and dive into it. So the next format, Sheep, do you want to kind of give us a synopsis of what this next format is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the next format is kind of a walk through Hearthstone's history. So every single day is a different expansion kind of release, essentially. So day one, March 1st, Nax is out. Legacy. Day two, Nax is coming out. So Nax out, it adds Nax. Yeah, buddy. Day three, adds GBG, and so on and so forth, right? So it's going on a walk through Hearthstone's history in a month, and by the end of it, we will basically be in Wild, which, hey, that's my sweet spot. And some of them, you know, like Classic, if you play Classic at all, there are some really good and fun decks you can play there. Like Aggro Hunter is what I pretty much always did the thing with in Classic. We've got Zoolock, you know, like there's some options there that then you can kind of build upon each day for a little while before you get power crept out into a different deck.
Yeah, for sure.
Tito, you're muted.
I realize that. So Hydra, what are your thoughts on this upcoming format?
Yeah, so I guess to sort of dip back into what I was saying before and to transition into now was, I think this is really, really cool. How many people can actually play the game every single day and take advantage of this? Like, okay, so 50% of us, right? So Sheep and Tito raise their hands. This is also a very small sample size. I think if we did the entire populace, that would be more like 20%, like instead of 50%, if I had to gauge, right?
Probably even lower. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hyper engaged folks and we're not even over 50% here.
Oh, yeah. I was also like trying to be generous too, right? Like it's a low number.
Yeah.
I said that I could do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. Like this is not something I'm wanting to do daily. Like I could do it if I wanted to, and I have enough cards and I have enough dust where if I want to make a certain deck, I can, but I'm not going to. This sounds interesting, but I still have standard to play. I still have, you know, trying to improve my rank there and all that. I'm not going to add this daily chore of playing a couple games, figuring out a new deck every day. The way they spread things out a couple on the other Twist formats where they said, okay, now we're taking that same format and we're doing this. Now we're taking the same format and we're doing that. I think if they would have spread this out longer, since it's the 10th year anniversary anyway, they're not doing anything in April. April's a break. Why not take, hey, for the first 5 days, we're doing this format, and then we'll add the next set for the next 5 days and carry that over for even if it lasts 3 months or whatever it is. Give people time to actually marinate in it and say, okay, hey, look, oh, is it time to play that Unguro deck that Doc really likes? Great. I have 5 days where that's going to be perfect. And then I'm going to pick that time and play that. And that's where I'm going to spend my time there. I think that doing it daily is a cool idea, but I think it's not practical for the typically engaged Hearthstone player.
No, and it's not even a day. You have the gap between when you get off of work and go to bed, or, you know, make dinner and feed your children. Like it's, or go to the gym or walk your dog or like whatever it is. Like you may have 2 hours, maybe 1 hour, maybe 15 minutes to enjoy this meta that hasn't existed for 10 years, 9 years, 8 years, so on and so forth. Right. Like it is, we went from the small pivot in Twist to holy crap, we're going to do every single expansion change every single day. So it's like we went to from 1 to 11 like that. And while I think it's neat that you can't really form a full meta within one day, unless everything is people are theory crafting beforehand and we know what we're doing, that could happen, but you can't really, really, really get a solid hold in one day. And that's kind of neat. But like, I would at least like it to be 3 days at the minimum, something like that, to just extend this really. So if you take it from a 30-day event to a 90-day event, in my opinion, would have been cooler. And at least give people a chance. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get to play on certain days. I got stuff to do, right? I got a family, you know, I got a job. I don't want to miss Nax out. Come on, I got to check my calendar. What day is that? Like, rude.
Nax out is Saturday the 2nd.
He's got it tattooed on his arm.
No, he's got it in his head. And I think even if they wanted to, they could have spread it out over, because it's not like Twist is drawing the engagement they wanted to, right? Don't write on your hand, Sheep. You're going to just have to erase it later. I think if they would have spread it out, they could have even spread it out for the whole 10th year. Like, hey, for this 10th year of Hearthstone, we'll just do this twist format, and then you'll have a block where we'll have this. I thought that's what they were going to do with Classic, because that's what WoW Classic has been doing. It's like, we're coming up on a Cataclysm now, that something, a set that everyone's universally hated for a while. I can't wait to get Warlords of Draenor, where they're like, everyone complained about it, and now like, they're going to be like, yeah, we got Warlords of Draenor back. It's like, I thought that's what they were going to do with Classic. Classic was going to then become Naxx, and then was going to become, you know, whatever came out, Goblins and Gnomes and whatever. And that's not what they did. And this is the opportunity to do that, but they're jamming like this, they're jamming the genie into this little itty bitty mini space. So I think they've lost an opportunity.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm, yes, Hydra.
It was.
You know what they will do is get a lot of Twitch viewers, because what's going to happen is everyone's going to tune in to see this. So the people that are going to specialize in this are going to be streaming it, and people are going to be watching it, and it's going to be cool. So every day it's going to be different, and people are going to watch it.
Are they, though? I mean, there's only like...
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, I think so.
But no one's engaged in Twist, right?
I'm not sure either.
But no one's engaged in Twist, so they're not... Yeah, they would have... If people are making content for this, yes, Sheep, I'm counting you. But if no one cares about this on a day-to-day basis already, are they all of a sudden going to start watching somebody doing this content? Maybe a few people, but I don't think it's going to be that big. I think it's going to be just as under the radar as everything else we've done in Twist.
I think there'll be certain people that are going to take advantage of it. And I don't know who is going to stream it, but if I had to predict, some of the bigger streamers can get away with it. Someone like
Martian
can get away. Like, yeah, I don't know if he's gonna do it, but someone like Crip could totally get Trump. If like Trump, Crip, like those guys. Even if Amaz, he doesn't stream Hearthstone anymore. If Amaz came back and he was doing it, people would watch that, like, for sure. He still streams with
a huge dog, right?
Like, like all these guys, Reynad. Huh?
Yeah.
But even if they do stream it and people are watching, there's still only going to be dozens of us playing. Like, I don't think that that's going to lead. I don't think if you like Crip, you're going to watch Crip regardless. And if he's doing this, cool, it's entertaining. I don't think that's going to lead to engagement, or at least not on any kind of level that will even show up on the Richter scale there.
And I think that if the accessibility issue was dealt with, then you would see it. Because I think right now people are like, especially, you know, it's the 10th anniversary. People are feeling nostalgic about it. They're able to actually play all of these metas all different days. Like, I've theorycrafted the first week already of what I'm going to play. Still refining those two. And, you know, like, I'm going to have like the whole month of stuff that I'm excited to play, and I'm excited to actually play every single day and all that stuff. But the accessibility issue for other people to play the game is, I think, what's going to continue to be the Achilles heel for the mode. It's not like Wild, where it's like, oh, I've got this deck that I've loved for ages. I can play that every day, no matter what. The meta changes significantly, and particularly this upcoming format, daily, right? So the accessibility issue is, again, going to be what keeps it from really succeeding. And that's honestly such a shame, because this is something, since I don't have the lack of accessibility to these cards, I'm just excited, right? Doc, I know that you don't have all of the cards from before.
I don't.
If you had all of, like, if you just had essentially like a blank check to have whatever cards you wanted, would you be excited to play Twist this upcoming month?
Absolutely. Like, in
right.
And so I probably won't actually get to play Twist in this upcoming format until like the last week of Twist, if that. Like, I'll maybe get 3 days worth of Twist in this upcoming format. And I mean, that pains me, like, because it feels, not that it is, but it feels like a punishment for someone wanting to focus on Standard. And with how Hearthstone economics has worked forever, like, if you wanted to play Standard, but like you could only get like a bundle or no bundle, like, dismantling your WoW collection always made sense, because like you probably weren't going to touch those. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh no, like you miss out on one or two Tavern Brawls like every couple months. Now it's, you're missing out on an entire format for an entire month. and that hurts. But if I would have had the ability to play Twist in this format, I would. I think it's going to be fun. I also do think that the lack of accessibility is going to be what drives people to watch these different content creators on Twitch, because like, who knows? It mm-hmm. might bring like Trump or Amaz or Raynad or someone back just for a couple days to play the formats that they really enjoyed. So I think that the idea of this format is super, super cool, but I do wish it would have lasted longer than it is going to.
So Doc, what would your price point be if they said for a month you pay X dollars? Don't worry about Canadian money. That's the fake. If you pay X dollars and you will have the entire collection available to you in Twist for the month, only in Twist, forget like, let's keep, what would you pay for that for a month?
Oh, like $50.
Wow. Really?
I mean, it's a lot of cards you get access to. Like, I mean, yes, you're renting them, but like you're getting, in my case, 9 years or 8 years worth of cards. So there is that premium there of getting so many cards for quote unquote free, right? Because it's more than actual $50 worth of cards if you were to try to open them all up in packs. So that is a discount. Yes, yeah, it's only for a month, but I don't know. I feel like $50 would be a good price to pay to not get the FOMO of like not being able to have access to this mode at all. I think that would be a fair price.
See, I think $5 would be reasonable. $10 would be pushing it, but maybe it would be okay. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Kind of like, where do you think the average Hearthstone player would be willing to spend money to play this mode for a month?
And honestly, that's what I don't know, because like Hydra and I have like full collections. So like, you know, we've paid our dues to have it. And thus we're kind of separated from what that would be worth to most people, mm-hmm. you know?
So
yeah, he spoke for me on that one, and I agree with what he said. And I was curious as to what Doc was going to say, and he dropped the $50 thing. And what I was guessing you were going to say was $1 per day, $1 per set, or $1 per meta, I guess, which would come to like $30 or whatever. So that's sort of what I was anticipating, and you said 50, which shows that you really want to play, because you would play even, you'd pay even more to do the thing because it sounds super cool, right?
What if
go ahead.
What if instead of focusing on Twist, what if instead, you know, so we just had the catch-up packs, right? That was great, but that was only limited to the standard sets and all that. I don't know. You guys would know better than I do. I don't know how much revenue Wild generates for buying old packs and stuff like that. What if for $60 you get the Wild set or something, like some price point that you could say, hey, you can get the whole Wild set for this amount of money? Well, no. I get what the value is, right? But it's not value if it doesn't matter if like the thing you have is worth $200 if no one buys it, right? So what if they said, hey, we have these formats we want you to play. $60 gets you the back catalog and just catches you up. Like Doc would pay for that. He'd pay $50 for the borrowing it for a month.
Yeah, I think that it would be good. Honestly, it would be good for the format if it was $60. Now, like I said, when I went 600, maybe like minimum, that's the selfish Hydra list being like, I probably spent like thousands of dollars on this game, and someone getting it for $60 makes me a little upset. However, I cannot be selfish. I want to think about the game. If somebody got the entire Wild set for $60, I'm pretty sure the mode at that point would blow up, and they would actually balance it a little bit more. I guess at that point, right? So that would be crazy. But however, they're more focused on selling mega bundles for standard than selling a $60 you get every card that used to exist. I still think it would be cool. I really think it would be cool. But that's not where their money maker's at.
Well, it doesn't like if they're not making money on Wild. I don't know if they're making money on Wild or not, but if they're not making money and they want engagement in these formats, put it at a price point that people can afford and that people would be interested in. Just think about, and I know you spent a lot of money, but it's like kind of like you bought all the He-Man figures and you got all the bad ones. You didn't get all the ones that were vintage or whatever. And it cost you like $600 to get them all. And then, you know, eventually you look on eBay, they're not selling for nothing. So you sell them at a yard sale for $20 a box of them. And yeah, you lost value on them, but now some other kid's going to have fun playing with them. Like, I feel the same way. It's like, you know, I've spent a lot of money in this game. But if we can get more people engaged and you don't have 1 to 12 minute queue times doing a mode, isn't that good?
Honestly, yeah, I agree. That's why, yeah, I was saying Selfish Hydra was a little like, wow, that's way too cheap. But for the greater good of the game, if you can do that and we get tens of thousands of more people up in the format, that would be absolutely amazing. And it is noted, or it should be noted, that NA Wild Legend, we get a few thousand people, you know, hitting Legend every month or whatever. But that's just here. Like, China, before it was gone, was hitting, what, like 30,000 Wild Legends? Something like that. So imagine.
Wild was huge in China. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've, a lot of the people from that territory have flocked to different servers and whatnot. And not everybody, obviously, but the diehards have. And if you think of 30,000 people hitting Wild Legends, so that's like NA standard numbers, think of how many people were actually playing the mode, right? So Wild is big. It honestly is. And if we could somehow channel that, if we could get cards more accessible, I know you can buy the packs, but come on. If it's 100 gold because there is some garbage in the Wild packs. There really, really is. I think at this point they could, if you really want to target a set, if you want to get a specific set, it shouldn't be 100 gold for a pack anymore, like it is for standard packs. Like, you should be able to target a certain set you really like on Goro. You should be able to buy it for 50 gold instead of 100 gold, that kind of thing.
I would love that. I would love that so much.
Except that then you run into the problem of people that are just going to buy the 50 gold packs, dust them, and now you're getting dust at twice the rate for half the cost. And that is why that we don't see that ever.
Unless the dust was Wild dust. Maybe they could do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did a little bad in college.
Oh man.
So let's go ahead and just talk about, so we've gone through the economics, we've gone through this, we kind of talked about the state of it, but let's talk a little bit about the new format a little bit more. Sheep, what can you tell, if someone wants to play this new month of going through the ages, but maybe if it, let's say Doc does say, you know what, I'm going to play Going Through the Ages as much as I can. How could he possibly do that on a budget? How could he make decks that could possibly last for a bit that is going to get him from the 1st to the 31st?
So, unfortunately, from the 1st to 31st is probably not going to happen too well. You kind of have to look more at different chunks, right? So, for example, the 1st, I'd say like almost week, you can kind of start with either like an aggro hunter or a Zulok, something like that, that has a lot of commons and rares. That kind of has some staying power throughout the first almost whole week of the format. So I say Zulok in particular, because you know, you've got the classic Zulok, like Doomguard, like high end. Eventually you get One Night in Karazhan, so you can like throw in the discard elements to it, but you're not really playing with a whole lot of legendaries and really even epics at that point either. Aggro Hunter is the other one that I honestly would recommend in Classic. That's what I pretty much, I think I hit Classic Legend twice and did it with Aggro Hunter both times. Whenever next comes out, Undertaker Hunter was like the deck in when I like the tier one, tier S deck. You can almost probably certainly like have a competitive Undertaker Hunter that you can continue to iterate on with different death rattles, which are super powerful throughout the first, again, week. But then the power kind of spikes and you get to kind of evaluate where you want to go from there. So it really is kind of looking at what chunk you're the most interested in playing and seeing what kind of more budget friendly decks are kind of available there. I know Hydra's looking pensive. I didn't mention Aggro Druid. I'm sorry. I know that's what I'm known for. what do you think would be a good way to approach that though, Hydra?
Well, duh, obviously in Classic, I mean, Force Roar is a thing, but we talked about how it's not the same, right? So it's you cannot do the original Force Roar. So don't be tricked into playing your Classic Druid. Like, you can't do it, which is unfortunate because that's what you could do if you were playing Classic mode. So you have to look. I was talking about this earlier yesterday in the Born to be Wild chat about, hey, like, what state are these cards going to be in? So you got to look at it. At least Undertaker is in its like OG state, right? So that's what you got to look at. And Undertaker right now is actually super good in Twist, like real good. So that's something that cheap card crafted. Seriously, like if you're going to play it, you may as well for the first week play Undertaker. Aggressive decks, that's going to be a thing. Once Mean Streets comes along, you may as well craft Patches if you don't have it already, because Patches Yar. Is going to be in your Pirate Warriors. It's going to be in your aggro mid-range Shamans, like that kind of thing. So Patches is never a bad idea. I mean, it's not in charge, but it still thins your deck. You still get that 1/1 on the board. It's definitely a good one. But yeah, no, I know you didn't say Aggro Druid. It's good right now in current Twist, but yeah, that's my suggestion. Mm-hmm. You got to transition at a certain point, right? And decks get a little silly. Like we're talking when we get to Mean Streets and beyond that year, we ended up getting the Death Knights. So that's going to be crazy. We're going to have Ping, like Anduin, right? Like with like Raza Priest, like that's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And OG Big Priest.
OG Big Priest. Oh, actually, Big Druid came first, right? With Yashiraj and Barnes was like the first big deck, mm-hmm. right? So like that'll be a thing. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be, it's definitely going to be interesting. But budget-wise, Hunter is a really good choice. For the first few years, Face Hunter was just like, you're going to have the same secrets, right? You always got the hero power. You got the basic beast package. That's incredible. Let's not forget that Savannah Highmane was the legendary for Hunter for a very long time, even though it's not a legendary, right? So that's a good way to go. Leroy Jenkins is coming back into core, yeah? Right?
Yes. But the core won't rotate in later.
Not until the fifth.
Doom guards you'd have to craft to play them when they were relevant. Then we get them when they're not relevant in the core, because that'll be around the 15th and they'll have already been shipped out of like any decks you'd be making for that, right? So it's kind of interesting how the cards that we're getting for the timing is a little off. But so probably those, pick a class that you want to, if you want to keep it on a budget, pick a class maybe that you like. Either I would say Rogue, because there's always been some kind of iteration of Rogue, right? With Miracle Rogue. Like so that's almost always
Edwin's
there.
It's been around since the beginning. You could always do Edwin Shenanigans from the very start. That's always been a thing.
You can always Leroy Shadow Step, Leroy Faceless to get another copy of Leroy.
Well, you can't, because when does Faceless go away?
Well, it won't.
Faceless never goes away.
I don't think it hasn't been in core for a while, has it?
No, but in this version of Twist, it's never rotating out. It's just always staying around.
Are they adding? Okay, so I might have been mistaken. I thought that each month was the meta that it was at. So like, if we got to so it's just going to keep
it's only additive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought we had a shifting block of cards where, like, once we got to, like, say Unguro, we just had the standard set of Unguro around there. So it's actually just additive. Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can always Leroy Shadow Step Leroy Faceless to get another copy of Leroy.
Fair enough.
I don't like it when you say that, Sheep.
He's quoting a song that we did on Born to Be Wild. This is what he's doing.
Like years ago.
But it's just that combo is just so silly and does not bring back good thoughts for me. At least I hated it.
I was gonna say Sheep seems to be almost euphoric over there thinking about it, so I think he has good thoughts.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's very much so. He's got the clip.
If you're the one doing it, it's fantastic. But if it just happens to you over and over and over again, then it's sad.
Oh, it is. The first time it happened to me, like again in modern times, I was like, oh no, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So just to wrap this up, what era, what deck, like what day of the month? Don't have an actual day, but like when are you looking forward to playing this mode? If like you only had to pick one place on this map of this month to play, where would it be? Doc, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, for me it would be Unguro Quest Rogue, because I just loved Quest Rogue, and it had like that. So this is going to be a story. I'm sorry. It's just how my brain's working right now. At this point, it's negative time now, so it doesn't count. So did THL. One of my buddies in THL, Saku, him and I would play each other. It was like twice a season or something. And for me, it's like THL. It's like Saku. THL lore. And if anybody knows Saku and you ask him about the game with Doc and Flappy Bird, he'll know what you're talking about. But played Saku in THL, and it was like a turn three or four quest completion with Flappy Bird, and it was the dirtiest Flappy Bird lethal, which I was very proud of. I wish I would have saved that replay or like recorded the game, but yeah, Unguro Quest Rogue with Flappy Bird is just the biggest Hearthstone meme to me. And Saku, I know you don't listen to the show, but I love you.
How about you, Hydra? What moment are you looking forward to?
I would like to cheers to Doc McButt on original Quest Rogue, because I was all over it. And I played a very bad version of that deck, because at the time I only had one golden legendary, which was Illidan, and I had that forever. And I realized that if I played, but I played Illidan in the deck, right? Because he's like 6 mana, 7/5. But every card you play summons a 2/1 flame or whatever it is, right? So you get a 5/5 every single time. So it was kind of like the top end that I would play it at, because he was my only golden legendary that I never played for like 3 years or whatever. So I was like, finally, I'm going to have golden cards. So that's what I did. Just to ride off of what you said. But for me, like, we're talking like what's going to be my favorite part? Aggro Shaman. When we get to Tunnel Trog.
Thunderbluff Valiant.
Thunderbluff, Totem Golem.
Oh.
Spear Claws. Like, I'm gonna be all over that. Yeah, Aggro Shaman.
I think Sheep has something evil to talk about, because he's got the hood up now and he looks like he's ready to go to the dark side. So, Sheep, what are you looking forward to?
So, whenever I very first started playing Hearthstone, I aspired to have a Mech Mage deck, and I never quite got there. So for me, the one day that I'm probably looking forward to the most is day 3, whenever GVG comes out
chugga chugga.
Yeah, with the Goblin Blast Mage and OG Dr. Boom. Like, I'm so excited for that moment.
Dr. Boom.
Yeah, another classic.
Now, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what day it is, but I want to. Yeah. I got to Legend for the first time with Zalay Hunter that had the Rottenest Drakes and just the Dragon Package, the Dragon Hunter.
Yeah, another one.
So,
yeah, another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it took me a long time. It took me a long time to get that first Legend, and that deck I really kind of took to and all that. So I don't remember what meta it was in, but I will find it out. I will figure it out, and I will play that, and I will relive my glory days for that day. I'm probably not going to play this format that much, but I will play that day. And I will make sure that
that was a good one.
I relive it. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Doc, what are your final thoughts on Twist and the new format? Whatever you want. Any final thoughts on Twist or whatever we've just talked about?
Let me rent cards so I can play the format.
Cheap.
There we go.
Let people like Doc rent cards so I can play more of the format.
Yeah.
Because I love the format and I just need people to play with.
Hydra?
Listen to Sheep, who reiterated what Doc was saying, to rent cards so people like Doc can play the format.
And I will finish with Twister. I hardly know her. All right. That was a lot of information that we just went over. It's been a long episode. It is already longer than... we're approaching Warshak episode times. Yeah. So, so let's go ahead and... finish up dinner, but I think we have some room for dessert even after all that. What do you think, Doc?
My stomach's about to bust, but dessert's always good. Hydralisk, what is your favorite dessert?
So my favorite dessert isn't like just a typical I'm gonna eat tiramisu or whatever. It's a combination of things. It's usually okay. Be ready for it. It's not out of this world, but I can't just eat one thing. So it's jalapeno cheddar Doritos, gummy worms, and Reese's peanut butter cups. Like, and I gotta take turns eating all of them and rotate.
This is all like so this is all in one like sitting, and you're just rotating through your favorite things.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's like I'll eat a couple jalapeno cheddar Doritos, then it's a peanut butter cup, then it's some gummy worms, and then back through. And if there's popcorn, that can be entered into the rotation. Yes.
Wiser words have never been spoken. You heard that on
More to Be.
I do think you're wrong. I think the right answer for you would have been poutine.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Or crepes, you know.
Ooh. What would a dessert poutine be like?
We don't have that. No, that does not exist.
French fries, gravy, cheese curds. Works for dinner, works for dessert, works for breakfast, works for a midnight snack.
That's where the crepe comes in. You can have a dessert crepe or a dinner crepe, Sheep.
Acceptable.
Very French of me. Not French Canadian. Sorry, Blue Train.
We.
Listeners, please review the show. We prefer a 5-star review because it helps with visibility, but let us know what we're doing, good, bad, the ugly, because we want to make this show the best that it can be for you and for us. And if you leave us a review, we'll read it out on the show, and you can email the show at breadandbutterhs@gmail.com. And we'll also read an email out on the show. So Sheep, where can people find you?
I can be found around that there internet at Electric Sheep City at places where that fits, like Blue Sky, and at eSheep City at places where Electric Sheep City doesn't fit, like Twitter.
Hydra.
So you can find me on Twitter at Hydralisk_HS and on Blue Sky Hydralisk.
Nice. How about yourself, Tito?
Also, you can... I was going to say, you can find both Sheep and I at Born to Be Wild HS.
Very nice.
Dun, 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 dun,
the Born to Be Wild podcast.
And you can find me at Tito Santana HS on both Twitter and Twitch. I will probably be making a Blue Sky account soon. It hasn't been a priority because I just figured I'd hang out with X until it dies. But I've been told that that can build some extra engagement, so we're going to see how that goes. Doc, how about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch and on Blue Sky at Doc McButt. Sheep, do you have any shout outs?
Shout out to, of course, Hydralisk. Shout out, of course, to Doc McButt. And shout out, of course, to Tito Santana HS. And most of all, shout out to my wife, who lets me hang out with y'all whenever we get to do that thing.
How about yourself, Hydra?
Well, definitely shout out to the three of you guys. Thank you, Doc McButt and Tito, for having Sheep and I on the show. And always shout out to Sheep. And we did go over a little bit of history, so I did want to shout out to Nate and Craig, who kicked us off, who were the guys that got this rolling, and we worked with them for a long time, and we've been just keeping it going. And so shout out to those guys for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to obviously shout the two of you guys out. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's always fun to have you on, Sheep. And Hydra, it's been so nice to meet you and get to talk with you. I do also want to shout out Nate, because he's the Hearthstone personality I had lived the closest to for the longest period of time, and always missed him. Very short story. I went to a Pokemon TCG event at his local card shop, and he didn't go that day. And
he was always going too. Yeah. He was too.
Yep. And that was an event he wasn't at. And that was like my last chance to like get unbeknownst to the both of us, last chance that I was feasibly going to be able to see him, because I had moved out of state. And then I believe he has moved too, right? Shout out to Nate, because I used to talk with that guy a bunch. He actually designed my Doc McButt Discord logo, which looks questionable. Not out of like bad talent or anything, just the design I had asked for made a shape that I didn't realize it was making.
Does it actually look like
a butt?
that would be more acceptable if it looked like a butt. Tito, how about yourself?
Well, I would first like to shout out Dragon Rider, who got her first, I believe, her first card reveal this time around, and it was fantastic. So she works really hard, and if we rest of the show, she'll be back in a couple weeks. So good for her. I also want to shout out you, dear listener, because if you're still here listening to us right now, we appreciate it. I would also like to thank Barnes & Noble, who obviously did not sponsor us, but we're more than willing to accept it. And I also want to make a final shout out to Blizzlet, who clearly influenced parts of this episode. And anyway, guys, it's been a long episode. We're just coming into 2 minutes if I go really fast, so I think we're toast. We'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you. Ah, we went over.
We're at 201. That's funny. I'm going to stop my recording. Yeah.
Slide two brothers meet one another when they slide up to the mic. It's bread and butter with one another. Let's start up that recording light.